Blog Talk Radio.
Be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You have found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports Index.
And if I may say, let me sports. In-depth nation is here. The sports in-depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the straw that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Stanley. Take it away, good doctor.
With that, I'm going to open up what I was seeing. Summer Madness.
We'll be right back.
Dr. Darius Wasn't That, Live Talk Radio. On the Trust in God, play a little more of the intro music people asked about Dr. Limo. So, summer madness, it doesn't feel like summer. Well, you know what? Maybe it does feel like summer with the coolness of September. And it's nice. Yeah. See you in September, or will I lose you to a summer love? We open up, as always, NFL Eddie's here with us. Some baseball, some football. Won't be gone. We'll be down on the mic. Open up, though, as always, to my favorite gospel song by him. After this plug, Salute in Brazil. Sam Cooke.
A Rádio Pajeú é o mundo todo. Fala, Stanley, direto dos Estados Unidos.
Meu nome é Doug Stanley.
Meu nome é Doug Stanley.
E eu moro em Nova York.
Eu moro em Nova York.
Nos Estados Unidos.
Nos Estados Unidos.
E estou ouvindo Radio Web Pajeú.
Estou ouvindo a Rádio Web Pajeú.
Um abraço.
Um abraço.
Hugs. God bless you.
Deus abençoe você.
Eita, menino, quer dizer que agora é internacional, é?
Yes. Ué.
Oh, there was a woman in the Bible day. She had been sick, sick so very long. But she heard my Jesus was passing by. So she joined the gathering throng. And while she was pushing her way through, someone asked her, what are you trying to do? She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. She cried, she had no more to spare. The doctors, they done all they could, but their medicine would do no good. When she touched him, the Savior didn't see, but still he turned around and cried, somebody touch me. She said, it was I who just want to touch the hem of your garment. I know I'll be made whole right now. She stood there crying, oh, 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 and oh, 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 Lord, and oh, Lord. Said if I could just touch the hem of your garment, I know I'll be made whole right now.
Okay, what's happening here now?
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports in Depth on Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. You're listening to Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley. Before him there was none, after him there shall be no more. You have the man that takes you inside what goes on in the world of sports. He's in the dugout. He's in the clubhouse. He's right by the water cooler. He is everywhere you need him to be to let you know what's going on. And also, you listen to the movers and shakers in the world of sports. You are found the right place with the legendary Doc Stanley on Sports in Depth.
You know, we're using Van Halen jumping for glee, Liberty in the semifinals for the first time in 8 years. Take their hats off to them. Won an overtime game, too. They're waiting for their opponents. So I'm going to take the hat off to them. Larry Hardesty was so instrumental in their establishment, their recognition in here in New York City. Teresa Witherspoon and them girls, young ladies, and take hats off to them. But, you know, Ed, there's something else that the number eight is not so positive. The Jets have not beat the Patriots NFL in 8 years.
14 games they've been defeated. This could be number 15 this Sunday coming at 1 o'clock.
Ed, you know, Ed, you don't sound so confident. Dr. Kelly's busting up NFL. And, you know, Ed, if we go to the Patriots game on Sunday, because that we were down in our Texas studios watching the game, and I just thought, you know, the officials in a situation like that, give them the first down, let the game be decided on the field, Ed, not by the officials.
Right. You talk about what game now? I'm sorry.
The Patriots game. Remember against Miami
right.
Sunday?
Oh,
okay, you made a
good. Oh, right. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. This,
yeah, Sunday night. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Sunday night game, right. So we're talking Patriots against Miami.
Miami,
yeah.
Right. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, the differential was only 7 points, you know, and that's what scares me about this Sunday for the Jets, because Miami's looking really good offensively. But we're looking at a Patriots team that really played the Eagles tough and also played Miami tough. And what I'm seeing in my worries again, we got Zach Wilson. So, you know, this could be a very rough day. And Belichick takes the right approach. He goes, look, I don't care about us beating them 14 times straight. Today, you know, this Sunday is this Sunday, and we're playing that game. So, and my opinion, too, what he can dial up against Zach Wilson and what the Jets are going to counterattack with, we got to get that running game going. I don't care if it's not working right off the bat. I don't care. Our offensive line for the Jets is, very questionable. And
well, yeah, and you know, you bring the point up that this was the big question when Joshua from Joshua, hold on, Doc Stanley's supposed to be live here. We're going to. Joshua in Brazil. Joshua, what's happening over there? How'd that football game come out yesterday between the supermarkets?
I can you hear me? I'm in the middle of the way, you know. I'm still at the shopping mall around here.
Yeah, okay. My question is, who won the supermarket football game yesterday?
Supermarket football game yesterday, it was Pinheiro Supermarket, my team.
But what was the score?
My team 3-2-1.
Okay, no, let's not be my team here on the air here. Let's be professional. Okay.
That's gonna be your team as soon as you get back here.
Okay,
well,
okay, so Pinheiro against Fonda de Suca, 3-1.
3-1 for the second weekend in a row.
Okay, so 3-1. That's the football game in the Fortaleza is the capital of Ceará. And Ceará was the first state that got rid of slavery. And I think I sent you an article, Joshua. Didn't that article say about that I believe the intellect is Fortaleza is one of the most intelligent states in Brazil and in the state?
Yeah, it is. You're right. There's a big article about this. There's a great article from researchers from the university in the United States in Ohio University has published it, you know, in partnership with the Federal University of Sierra.
And
that was it.
Okay, and what did it say? Give us the details on that, would you?
It's one of the most intelligent states, cities in all the northeast of Brazil. It has been in the first rank in all the cities in the northeast of Brazil in life quality and and well-being for the citizens and many other opportunities for people who come outside here.
Mm-hmm. And not to mention they rank very high with the ladies, too. Some very nice ladies there, too, also, right, John?
Yeah, really wonderful ladies in the world. This is because most of the foreign guys want to be living in there forever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Professor, our man live from Fortaleza, Brazil, Professor J.P. Campbell. Professor, real quickly before we let you go, how are things, have the weather there been kind of hot lately, and what's the state from a person who's working with languages, is Fortaleza, or are they doing very well in their apprehension and their attempt to learn English?
Yeah, man. Lately, just many more people every day trying to learn English, you know, to exactly, I don't know, because a lot of foreign companies are coming to Fortaleza, are establishing their places here, and English is being asked for all the candidates to, in order for them to succeed, to get a good job, a good salary, so people are looking for English more than ever up here.
Well, you know, I happen to speak English quite fluently, and I can read it and write it also. Maybe I can get a job.
Yeah, man. You probably can get a job up here, you know. That's it. Because what they need is the ones who can speak English. So that's going to be great.
Last question. I know you're busy. What was the feeling of the Brazilians to see Messi leave Europe and come to America? Was there a lot of thoughts and, you know, speaking out about that?
Well, as you know, Brazilians are not so into Argentinian guys, you know, as you know, like us as well, you know, nobody in the world is into Argentinians, but Messi is a different character, you know, that's it. Messi is really different guy, a good, very good player, so the feeling of the people around here were great, that Messi is back to the regions, especially in Americas. That's something that people had a great feeling for, you know, that's it.
Yeah, I'd imagine Dr. Andy Sports at Blog Talk Radio, when it's trusting God, anyway, Professor J.P. Campbell, live from Fortaleza, Brazil, the capital of the city. You know, it reminds me somewhat, too, of when Pelé came here with the Cosmos and brought football to America. Messi is the most renowned player in the game right now. Him's coming is sort of a reinforcement and elevation of that. So, I mean, you know, they got to feel about that. But, you know, the number one sport in the world is football. And as far as I'm concerned, and the record shows, the number one player. All they can talk about Messi, great player. Nobody will ever supplant Pelé.
Yeah. Nobody will supplant Pelé. No one. There's no way for it. You know, there's no way for it. There's a kind of like Neymar in one of the last matches that was he has been great, and he has got to a place when he has got as goals as Pelé, but no one was going to ever be better than Pelé. That's really great. That's it. Messi has said it. Neymar has said it. And all the other guys all around that you understand a lot about football, we will never say in the opposite of it. Pelé will be Pelé forever.
In the words of Muhammad Ali, the greatest of all times.
Yes, you're right. For all times. All times.
Okay.
Yeah, man, that's great.
I know, Professor Campbell, thank you for joining us. I know you got to go. We'll talk to you later, but once again, thanks so much for joining us. Doc Stanley live in New York City, live in Fortaleza, Brazil. One of the top professors in English. And real quickly, now, you speak how many languages, Professor?
Fluently, and I teach five languages. But I can't speak more languages than five, but I just teach five, and I speak fluently five languages.
Okay, well, what five do you speak fluently?
Fluently, it's my language, English, is a natural native one, Portuguese, Spanish, Italian, French, German. And right now, a little bit, but I'm learning a better Dutch language.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're doing hold on. Okay, but I know, Professor, I know you got to go. We will let you go. Thank you for joining us live from Fortaleza. And it's good to know that our team, Pão de Açúcar, is losing to I was in the supermarket tournament. I guess we're in first place.
Yeah.
Okay, and okay, so we'll talk to you later. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for the insight. And
thanks
good.
For having me in. Thanks for having me in.
Well, Professor, it's always good to have you. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you,
everybody. Dr. Sandy Sports Blog Talk Radio live from Fortaleza, Brazil. That's always great to Professor Campbell. You know, he speaks 5-6 fluent languages, and he speaks a horde of others. You know, just some people cannot speak just one, but he's just great. Dr. Sandy Sports Blog Talk Radio, Touch and Grab Network. Talking about football, you know, Messi came over. He's done well. Yeah, they're wearing colors. You know, Ed, I remember when sneakers were only two colors, mainly white and black. And now you look around today, Ed, and there's just a horde of colors. And I'm looking at the uniform that the Miami team wears, and it's pink.
Yeah, I know. And the Chicago Bears were dressed in orange the other Sunday. So, you got
go
explaining
ahead.
It, though. What can I tell you? Yeah, I think I was in junior college playing basketball there, and I finally got a pair of, like, blue Adidas, you know, sneakers. Other than that, my whole youth was growing up in white or black Converse. And I wore the white, white high top.
No, you're right.
On the basketball
white high
top. Court, and
exactly.
The black regular sneakers, the low tops were for hanging out and trying to be cool.
because I remember the first player I saw to wear low cut sneakers was Oscar Robertson. In fact, Oscar had his own sneaker. I had a pair of them too. I wish I had kept them ordered, but it was and the guys who wore the black sneakers, Dr. Sandy Sports Talk Radio, Blog Talk Radio, who's just got Radio Network, was the Celtics. No, they were the only team that wore black sneakers. You know, they were like the villains to a certain degree because they were beating up on everybody. But it was only black black was more. I remember the big black sneakers one was Spalding high top because they were for handball players. Ironically enough, maybe that had an impact on the Celtics wearing black because my late friend, the great John Isaacs, told me that Red Auerbach's forte was he was an outstanding handball player in New York City from his neighborhood of Brooklyn. And maybe that might have had an impact or a rationale why the Celtics wore black sneakers. But like I said, he was a handball legend here. Dr. Sandy Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, Prison Guard Network, the Liberty are going into the semifinals trying to get the championship. And the Jets are trying to figure out a way to beat the Patriots. You know, Belichick, you know, he's on the money. You know, it's game by game, day by day. Yesterday's history. You know, they were in both of those games, as we can see, the closing moments of the game against Miami, and they were in the game against Philadelphia for a while. The talk of Philadelphia here, Ed, is that can Hurts continue to run as often as he does and hold up during the course of the season, if not for season two, Ed, over the long haul, career-wise.
Right. Let's get if they can get past the season. We're in that NFC East Conference. Washington's 2-0. Giants,
Washington's
great 2-0. Comeback.
Oh, okay. Everything changed.
Philly's
everything changed.
2-0.
Right. Right.
Dallas is 2-0, but Dallas is like a dominant 2-0 as far as shocking the media or the press. Okay. So Philly, yeah, they're there. But, you know, so there's a lot of questions being raised. I think Philadelphia is not the same powerhouse that they were. At least not
last
showing
year.
It right away. Yeah, as far as last year. And some people have concerns about, you know, their firepower, whatever. But, again, it is so early. But when you look at it right now, Dallas looks very, very strong. San Francisco, they took care of L.A. Rams. But, it wasn't a total dominant performance. But what were the dominant performances other than I think in the AFC, Miami, with their two wins, even though they were close with San Diego, but they put up a lot of points. And then Dallas, with their defense, and their defense is more or less winning the games so far. But I love
I want to catch you here while you go. You know, there's two things here. Let's talk about what happened. And, you know, when we saw the Monday night game, and by the grace of God and the sun, Jesus, always the blessings come. That's the highest rated Sunday night game in maybe 18 years or so. And then live at the Dallas game, Dallas Cowboys Sunday became only the 13th in NFL history to score over 70 points in the first two games and hold the opposition to 10. You said, but Eddie, are we taking a different look at them if the Giants don't come back and win? I think the Giants coming back and winning is a double-edged sword. It shows that the Cowboys beat a good football team, but had they lost again, you can question the I mean, a win's a win. You're looking at the caliber of the competition. And you look at the Jets, too. It's a 30-10 game, but the Jets were in that game. I'm upset. I'm going to read some articles on the paper, and there was some knock on the Jets' defense. The Jets' defense did it. I mean, they were playing against the Dallas Cowboys and the guys that were wearing the striped uniforms. Three horrendous calls, back-to-back roughing the passer, pass interference. The Jets' defense still did not allow a touchdown to come out of those situations. So we can't be knocking the defense, and they did an outstanding job, Ed, to be out of the – you know, Dallas' first drive was 5 minutes. Yeah. The first drive was 5 minutes, Ed, and the first half they had the ball 20 minutes. They had the statue of hold. They had the ball 20 minutes. So, I mean, the defense was there. I just thought – I'm going to be some model because I just thought it was just really – but then again, you know what, Ed? We know better than that. We know the New York media. They're always going to find a negativity and a positive, and whatever negative, they're going to harp on that and blow that up. So now that I think about it, Ed, I'm not surprised.
Right. And it was terrible. That officiating on that drive, you had the Jets, come on. They held, you know, how many, you want to give them 8 downs to get into the end zone? All right, why don't we give them 10? Why don't we just walk off the field and you can kick the ball back to us? It was to me, that was horrible officiating. But with that said, why didn't they stick to the run game? Some other analysts were saying, look, they weren't out of it totally. Get back. Come on. Zach Wilson, the reason why you got Aaron Rodgers because you don't want Zach Wilson at the helm. But with that said,
A point well taken about the late legendary Rooney would say. Ed, looking at it, you know, once again, Shaquan is out for a little while, talking about to maybe the middle of October. Another injury to him. He seems to have a propensity of having these problems, but it's a situation that we've talked about, and we're going to talk about it redundantly, Ed. When are they going to get rid of the goddamn AstroTurf? You're getting regional money. You're getting local money for TV and radio. Fans have to pay X amount of dollars to buy season tickets. And, you know, I just don't understand. I'm paying Ed Miller $75 million guaranteed money. I'm paying Destino Lewis $65 guaranteed money. You know, I get Sea Wings. I mean, I don't understand the problem of I mean, it's not like you're asking them to go to a venue they've never been before. You know, you come from grass to AstroTurf. How many times you let guys get hurt, career-ending injuries in some case? I mean, that was the key case that nobody really talked about. We did Harper here. Back then, he's supposed to do Blog Talk Radio and Trust in God. I hope Enhanced Sports joins us. I'm trying to call him. But you know, that was one of the things that nobody talked about except you. The AstroTurf was a big reason for Aaron Rodgers. It was the reason that Dak had his injury. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like we talked about before, Mel, the guy who's retired from his job working for the county or the city for 100 years finally buys that beautiful sports car, the classic, and what is he going to do? Now he's got it, and it's like, wow, I'm going to park it on the street in Corona, Queens. Come on, you know? I got these million-dollar ball players, and I'm putting them out on turf. Why not we have grass? Because I don't get it. You and I have shared this before.
Eric Swan talked about it. He said maybe they stopped sending the players the questionnaire around. He said they used to send the players. And we talked about this is like 20 years ago, man. And Eric Swan said, you know, they would send a questionnaire to the players, you know, what was their preference. At that time, most of it was the grass. So they want grass or AstroTurf, and all the players, overwhelmingly, he told me, were saying grass. And you, like, just disregarded what, you know, what they said, what they want to play on. And we know what the AstroTurf did to the knees of the great and legendary Andre Dawson up in Montreal. You know, a lot of players talked about how, you know, you just can't play on that stuff. Gale Sayers talked about the first time he saw it. You know, he saw how they zipped it in, and somebody, hey, well, why don't you put some elbow pads on? He said, no, I'm all right. Boom, boom. And a couple of tackles. He looked at his elbow. He had to put some elbow pads on. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. It's insane. But as we
there's
look at
no,
Chuck
there's
on,
no, there's no
rationale.
Burn relief. I mean, on your elbows,
yeah.
You need, you know, with that said, and then grass. First of all, they play through the rain. Okay, we know that.
Right.
And the snow. And whenever it gets wet, grass gives. Okay, you slip, you slide, you make a cut, and it goes. But you don't ruin your career or your season, my opinion.
Yeah.
You know, it gives, and you give. Okay, so you go down and both. But with the turf, it's, you know, it's a different story.
Yeah, it's just crazy. It's just, it's, I don't know, you know, see, when a great line he used to have, the NFL stands for not lost so long. Take a quick look at things. I'm looking at this back page. They're far from the D-best. Big talking Jets defense has a long way to go to back of the Dorado. So, you know, we can work the paper too, the nonsense. What I was liking here, too, Ed, I thought that was just really a smack in the face. And already they're talking about, this team has come back from 27 points down. They're on the road, and we've got a line that says, and one of my favorite writers, too, a good half won't be good enough against San Francisco. Well, who's to say? Yeah, Shaquan suffers another injury. He'll be out 3 weeks. Fully exposed. Rodgers' injury left Jets deficiencies on display for Wilson. You know, the biggest deficiency is Wilson. I mean, we talked about this, too, and I talked to the guys in the locker room after the first game. You know, Aaron Rodgers came here because this was a good team. He didn't pick a bad team. He picked a good football
exactly.
team. He was going to enhance the team, but this was a good football team. We had the defensive rookie of the year. We had the offensive rookie of the year. We had one of the top-ranked defenses
right.
in the league. We had a couple of best. So, I mean, what's all this story about all of a sudden deficiencies? I mean, the one thing we knew, Ed, and you know, we talked about the offensive line. And there was fears about that, but I think on that injury to Rodgers, Doc Stanley Sports said, Block Talk Radio, Tough Guy Network. Wow, you know, we just had opening prayer. We'll get that in a minute. We have to put a lot of blame on the AstroTurf. You know what I mean? If it's raining outside
right.
and he did take an umbrella, well, you know, maybe it's raining pretty heavy. But let's not sit and say he didn't try to defend himself. Ed, give me just a second here because I didn't do it. I got to catch myself here. Let's go to John Coltrane, and we caught Sam Cook. We always want to open up with a word or two of prayer, so we're going to take a quick moment, take off our hats, stop and talk. John Coltrane, hello. Hello, we thank you for another day. More importantly, have your will, have your way. Last night, laying down this morning, getting up, clothes on our feet, shoes on our back, food on our table. And a debt paid that wasn't made on the hill a long time ago. That's my panel here, but leading it is NFL Ed, and we're all back to Brazil, where Professor Joshua J.P. Campbell joined us. All our family here across the world and right here in New York City. And we just want to thank you first and foremost in the name of your son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Okay. A couple of things here too got me that had me out fighting. I'm reading this article, and it's about Ohtani, and he said there's a relatively short list for teaching, which makes Ohtani. Which makes sense. Ohtani, this is arguably the greatest player ever. And I read this. I thought I may saw a misprint. And I'm going to read it again. This is, talking about a list for him to join. I mean, he's down to be an everyday player. But this got me, Ed. This is a relatively short list. Well, they were saying the Mets need pitching now, and Ohtani almost surely won't be able to pitch in 2024, perhaps even much into 2025. Two, the Mets need to fill multiple holes after their summer fire sale. They may not like the terms, but sorry, anytime you trade two Hall of Fame pitchers, it's my definition of John Heyman. But, I kind of lose a lot of respect of his intellect of the game. I have to have none to say that Ohtani is arguably the greatest player ever. The guy's not a lifetime 300 hitter, so how can you utter him in the same breath with some of the great 300 hitters? Tony Gwynn, Willie Mays, Hank Aaron, Joe DiMaggio. You go back to Cobb. I'm reading this, man. The only reason I saved this paper to read this, since Ohtani is arguably the greatest player ever. I just put the paper down, and I saw who the guy is, and I just have no respect for him anymore. None whatsoever to put that this guy is arguably the greatest player. I have a problem with him arguably being one of the greatest players ever at this venue of his career. Because who's to say that Willie Mays couldn't pitch and play, or Barry Bonds, or Pete Rose, or Joe DiMaggio, or Mickey Mantle? Who's to say they couldn't do it? But I've always said that taking nothing away from him, for him to come here and be able to excel at both ends doesn't say a lot about the quality of the players. And I'm looking at the game the other day, Ed. One guy's hitting 247. Another guy's hitting 247. Ed, nobody hitting 247 was in a major league lineup when we were coming up, Eddie.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, that's... And you're going back 100 years. I guess the diversity of being able to pitch and be a great hitter. is phenomenal. And I'm impressed. But yeah, to be digging back that far on the icons that we've had over baseball history, I think that's stretching it a bit. Yes.
Yeah, I mean to say arguably the greatest player in the game today. Okay. How about it? But I'm saying, who's to say that Willie Mays, Mickey Mantle, and Joe DiMaggio, could have not, Hank Aaron, look at Clemente's arm. You don't think Clemente could have pitched and played every fourth day with that arm? Al Kaline, Dave Winfield, Mays. Just arguably, and it's not like he's winning a whole lot of games here. His ERA is 3.3 something. It just got me. I'm saying, it just got me. Doc Stanley, Sports Talk Radio, Talk Radio Network.
Babe
we
Ruth
talked
pitched.
To. Yeah.
Babe Ruth came in as a pitcher.
Yep. And they said he was en route to a Hall of Fame career as a pitcher.
Yep, there you go.
And the only reason why they said, wait a minute, man, I'm sorry. You're hitting more home runs than teams. So you got to forget the pitching thing. But he was en route to it, too. Doc Stanley, supposed to be on Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and Guard Radio. And they were talking about the Cowboys. The Cowboys released running back Ronald Jones on Monday, the day after he was eligible to rejoin the team after two-game suspension for violation of NFL's policy on performance-enhancing drugs. But the big story here is Mahomes reworks contract. NFL media reported Patrick Mahomes restructured his contract in a move that will pay him $210.6 million between 2023 and 2026, which the guaranteed sum, the most ever over a four-year period. Mahomes remains under contract through the 2030 season, and the team will revisit the deal after 2026, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. So, yeah, there's no question there, no problem. Without question, he deserves it. Without question, the best quarterback in the game today, and en route to being quite possibly the best ever was. A couple of bad guys. I remember listening to that game when Kansas City is hosting the championship game, and they said the guy lined up in the neutral zone, and then they had roughing the passer, and next thing you know, the Patriots won that game, went to the Super Bowl instead of Mahomes and the Chiefs. And then when he did play, I mean, he was injured. Dr. Sandy Sports Network, Block Talk Radio, Touch the Government Network. Wanted to read that about Mahomes, that part about Otani. And I talked to Dusty Baker. Dusty said, hey, man, you know, the guy's legit. I don't have a problem with his legitimacy, but I do have a problem with him being called arguably, the greatest player of all time. Is that at Enhanced Sports joining us now? Of course, you saved me good. I'm here. Dr. Sandy, Enhanced Sports here. We'll get the dates for you. Okay, we were just talking about a couple of things, John. I think you heard the part. I mean, Otani, this guy says arguably the greatest player ever. Your thoughts on that comment?
Well, Otani, you know, does well for the Angels, but you know, with him being hurt now, it's gonna hurt the chances. And I think we have seen the last time in an Angels uniform. Not a great way to go out.
Really? Really? So, I mean, what's that?
Free agency is due up for him. So,
Enhanced Sports, is no question he's leaving the Angels. No question. You know, but there's been some talk that he wants to stay in a warm weather area. So there's the Dodgers, you know, or maybe a team that's one of the rumors I heard going around. Padres. And one of the rumors I heard was that Trout was possibly headed to the Astros as their center fielder.
I heard that too.
Yeah. I mean, he goes there. Yeah, Tucker is out. That's some outfield. You got Tucker in right field. He'd be in center field. And then Johan would be in left field. That's an all-star field. You know what? The last time I saw a really great outfield was Gary Sheffield in right field, Andrew Jones in center field, and Chipper Dave in left field for the Braves. It reminded me of the year, it might have been 64, where the Cardinals infield was also Boyer at third, Val Maxwell at short. I don't know how Maxwell got there. He couldn't hit weapon. There were some girls and women in softball to get better than him. Julian Javier, who named his son Stanley after the great Stan Musial, and Bill White at first base. White became the first black executive in baseball, the first black sportscaster. And Stanley Javier, for notes of trivia, was the first player to hit a home run in interleague play. And a big boxing aficionado. Seeing him and talking boxing. People see this talking, we're doing injury talking boxing. But, yeah, I remember the whole Cardinal entry. I think McCarver might have been the catcher. But I know that Boyer at third, Maxwell was at short. Second base was Julian Javier, and first base was Bill White. Of course, Willie Mays was in center field. Hank Aaron was in left, and Tommy had to be in right field, but I remember the whole infield. But, yeah, that would be some kind of outfield if they got Trout. But, you know, both of those guys, gentlemen, if we look back, you know, the propensity that they had to get injured was always a problem. Having them both on the field at the same time was an issue. And then if one was gone, the other one was there by themselves. And, you know, they started out very well, but they, you know, normalcy came back in again. But it's going to be interesting to see in these 2 weeks where they go, because I think there's no question that they're going, okay? The question is where they go. It's going to be interesting to see, too, gentlemen, what kind of money Ohtani gets now not being able to go both ways. You know, that was the thing. You could say, well, hey, man, you know, he can pitch for me on Wednesday and then play for me until he pitches again. But it's going to be interesting to see if that is the negative in his bargaining chip that now, if I'm correct, is this the second time he's had this Tommy John surgery?
I believe
right?
so.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean... Yeah, I mean, it, you know, and we talked about this. Dr. Andy supposed to be a blog talk radio church. I don't know, was it Ian O'Connor, or maybe it was our Grand Prairie, Texas affiliate, Tim Bethay. And I said, you know, it's remarkable to me, it's a great man, Boykin says, that the whole idea behind the pitch count was to relieve problems for the arm and more pitches a day. I was looking at Tommy John's card that had it back there, having Tommy John surgery ever before. And I remember talking to the great Tom Seaver. And when you talk about Tom, there's certain guys, when you mention it, and you have to put great in front of it. You know, the great Michael Jordan, you know, the great Willie Mays, the great Pete Rose, you know, the great Hank Aaron. And I remember down the batting cage, because I was blessed, of course, by God and Son, because he was here as a sportscaster. And I was sitting by the batting cage one day. You know, we kept to be buddies. And I said, you know, if you're around today, man, you go 5 or 6 innings, and then the bullpen come in. Now, as I'm rethinking, you got to have outstanding bullpen. But, you know, you win 500 games. I'll never forget, in hand sports, I'll never forget, NFL head, the first words out of his mouth. And with some kind of, he said, bullshit. He said, you got to go every fourth day, and you got to go at least 7 innings. Remember the great George Thomas Seaver, and everybody that I've talked to said he was the best right-hand pitcher of his year. Statistically, he can't beat it. 300 wins, 3,000 strikeouts, 2-something ERA. And I remember with Cito Gasson, first black manager to win a World Series, and I said, I asked him his thoughts on Tom Seaver. And I never forget, Mr. Gasson stopped. I thought it was appalling. I thought it was a smack in the face to bring back this guy who won back-to-back World Series for you as a batting coach, you know. And he leaned against the wall. Never go. He said, Tom, terrific. He said, I'll tell you this. He said, if Tom Seaver went in the 7th inning with a one-run lead on you, his fastball got faster each inning. And Seaver, anytime I would tell him the accolades and the appreciation and respect shown by his fellow, and he would always say, oh, they just told me that because you could hit me. But, he's, you know, and then, you know, Dusty Baker, Cito Gasson. I remember the Roadrunner. I think it was named Gasford, and he was leading the league in hitting. Yeah. And I just got into the business. He said, hey, man, he said, what's wrong with Tom Seaver over there, man? Seaver was like 7-3. He said, what's wrong with Tom Seaver? The Roadrunner, I can't think of his name now. He used to play for the Braves. But, just a very great pitcher. But I think there's no question both guys are going. The question is, where they're going, and the question is, hence once, what's your thought? Is he going to be able to get the kind of money he could have gotten now that he can't pitch?
No, because they wanted to see him pitch and hit. I mean, now with him pitching, and he's done for the year now too anyway. So he's not going to get a kind of money. I mean, he won't be able to pitch again until at least 2025. So I think we can rule that out for the 2024 season. He won't get the same kind of money.
Bernie Williams, one of the great center fielders, not only for the Yankees, but in the game, said, you know, at this juncture, and I think it's no-brainer, he said he's got to make a decision on the wear and tear on his body, because Bernie said, you know, people don't understand the kind of energy exerted, you know, it takes to pitch in the major leagues. He says he had to come to a point, Ed, that he's either going to be a pitcher or everyday player. And I think what this has done is going to put him to the point now. Here's a thought, gentlemen. We can bring him in the game as a setup man. We could bring him in the game long relief. But I think at this juncture, and you just talked, 2025, and there's no guarantee tomorrow. This is 2023, time finished. I think he's become an everyday player, and which means I don't know how he is defensively, but everyday DH. And that's a good thing for him now, that the DH is in both leagues, so he can go either way. So he can go to the Dodgers, he can go to the Padres, he can go to the Astros, or their park. He can go to the Texas. I think they have an indoor ballpark too. So, but I think right now the injury is when you say blessing in disguise, he's going to have to be everyday player. And I think he's going to like that better. You know? Thoughts on that?
Yeah. I think I agree with that. Actually, Jim, this is short because I got to take care of some things. So, but I'll be back on the next show whenever that.
Okay. Enhanced sports. Okay, one more time. Your time and date for the fans listening in.
Saturday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Number to call is 512-543-4662. Don't forget, we're also available on YouTube. Just type in go to YouTube and type in The Enhanced Sports Show, and you'll see the show in its entirety.
Okay, give us the number one more time.
512-543-4662.
Okay. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. You got it. Enhanced Sports every Saturday. And, I got to join you, too. Okay, Enhanced Sports, thanks a lot for being with us. And we'll talk to you soon. I'm going to join you this Saturday. Thanks a lot now.
Right.
Great. Enhanced Sports. Always, you know, he's just he's been just a great thing. Ed, you know, he comes in, adds so much to the show, finds time to join us. But, Ed, let's look at this. He's at a situation, there's no option, Ed. He's going to be playing every day for a while anyway before the arm comes back. Now the other thing is, Ed, I think he's got to be a DH. We don't want him hurting that arm in the outfield. So are we going to put him at first base, or are we just going to let him DH? Okay, you're the manager, Ed. You've got him. He just signed his big contract. Are you going to DH him? Or I don't think the only other place you can put him, you can't put him at third base, you can't put him at shortstop, you can't put him at second base, he can't catch. So I think he's either a first baseman, Ed, or a DH. Your thoughts?
I would put him at DH. You can see how his arm strength comes back, but that's a story. But, you want to keep him in the capability of pitching. Okay.
Doc Savage, updates here too. Let me get some baseball updates for you. But the Astros won their game today, so they're still sitting. They got back in there. I talked to Dusty the other day. Everybody said, you know, what took you so long to get back to first base? He said, well, you know, Verlander had left. Altuve was out for a while, had some other injuries. So, That might have been a factor. They're back at first base looking at the score today. They won a bottom of the ninth walk-off game today, 2-1 against let me find the score. It wasn't the Rangers. The Rangers won. The Rangers won the bid. Man, the Rangers had 15 runs and 16 hits in their game today, which they won. Maybe I can find some scores here for us. I think I took them all off. I did. Okay. My scores are gone. But the Rangers won. The Astros won. They have a game lead, half a game lead. It's a third team. And it's not the Royals. Royals have already lost 102 games. 102 games they have lost this year. And we still got the rest of this month to go in some of October. Wow. 102 games. But like I said, Astros won a game today. They came back. They were down by a run, but they got two runs, one in the bottom of the ninth to win and keep their half a game lead in their division, finally getting there. I think it was last week they finally climbed back up there. Altuve's back. He looked like he's not really 100% Pena. Nobody talks about the job he does defensively. Won the Gold Glove, too, and what he does offensively. He's a shortstop that's not an automatic out. Maldonado, he may hit one something, but he hits enough home runs and hits them at the right time and gets big hits. But Yonez, the other kid, I just thought he was going to hit. He's got 27 home runs. Somebody was saying if he played him every day, he probably may still have a shot at the Rookie of the Year award. You know, but we'll see what happens with that. Dr. Johnny Sports is at Blog Talk Radio on the Trust and God Network. Enhanced Sports, you told his number where you can call. He's YouTube. I got to do that too. 512-543-4662. 512-543-4662 on Saturdays. And we're here with NFL Ed. You know, the thing too, which is kind of a good thing, kind of a bad thing, Giants win, get out that beat up they did by the Cowboys. It's Thursday night game, and they're playing San Francisco. I think Billy Kilmer says, you know, when you win, there's a satisfying soreness. Winning that game on Sunday the way they did, a conference building and a satisfying soreness, you know, they wouldn't have been that eager to play, Ed, if they lose again. The Cowboys shut you out. You know, you were getting beat half to death. But, you know, they're ready to play. They're ready to play. And you got to take your hats off to them to come back, not only to come back and win, but to come back and win the way they did to come back to win.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great, great performance. Down 20 points. But they lost Saquon. And I doubted he was going to come back on a short week. So, but we just hope that he can come back two or three games. But, hey, they got to go at it tomorrow night. And that's it. It is. That's life in a big city, life in the NFL. So, but tremendous response. Because when they were down 20-0, it's again,
meaning at that point, being down 20-0, at that point, the Giants were at that point 66-0. They had no points, and opposition had scored 66 points at that point because they lost a 44-0 game. And now he's 20 points now. 66 unanswered points by that defense, and you franchise tag the running back who wanted money, but you gave Jones his money, and, you know, to come back and win that game, you got to take your hats off to him. You got to take your hats off to him.
You got to tip your cap to them on that, without a doubt. And then we connect in Frisco, short week. Without Saquon, it's going to be rough. If they pull it off, they're right in the hunt in one of the toughest divisions, the toughest division, without a doubt, in my opinion, in the NFC conference.
You know what? With Washington 2-0, the Cowboys 2-0, with the Giants now 1-1, you know, everybody has a winning record. Two guys undefeated. You have the defending conference champions.
The Eagles also.
We got two. That's right. Three undefeated teams. Everybody with a winning record. To put it, Doc Stanley's putting their Block Talk Radio touch to go. Now, NFL, Ed Enhanced Sports has just left us, stopped him for a minute. Some insight. It is. Well, I think they used to know. That old Chicago Bears, Minnesota Vikings, Green Bay Packers, and Detroit Lions, that was the old black and blue division, you know. But this has been, like I said, if you look back at it, to be down at 1 point, no points, and giving up 66. And it says a lot about their intestinal fortitude to come back and win, and at that on the road. I mean, you just got beat up at home, and now you come back and you're getting beat up on the road. So this game, so they're playing San Francisco. That's a Thursday night game. And, we will see. And I think, you know what, Ed, too, it's 6-1 half dozen. Yeah, Saquon's not going to be there, but you're playing back so soon that, you know, when you came in Monday, you're getting ready at a different level of speed because you got to play Thursday. It's not like you're getting ready to play again next Sunday, and that somehow can be a positive because you're so focused on getting ready for the game Thursday. Yeah, we're going to miss them, but hey, you know we've got things to do, and you have to do them at a faster rate than what you would if the game was going to be again next Sunday. So that can be a positive.
No time to stop and dwell over
exactly.
Too much.
There you go. There it is. Right. You're right. Enhanced quads. Good talking to Professor J.P. Campbell out there. They have a little Sunday Supermarket League tournament, Ponza de Suka and Peremo. And, right, the one down in my neighborhood there is Peremo, and they won back-to-back games 3-1, staying undefeated in the Supermarket Liga, the football. Doc Stanley Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Government Network. So, Ed, quickly, give me some thoughts. Where's Otani going to go?
I'm sorry. Oh, he's going back to baseball.
Yeah, okay, I understand he's coming back. Look, give me a team.
Someone's going to grab him up real fast. I mean, he can go to the Athletics, would probably love to have him. If he wants to stay on the West Coast, if that's his
nature.
Wow, I forgot
about that.
He's from the East. So, come on, they'd be desperate for him, right? And what he can do to that franchise. And then, you go a little further north to Seattle, okay? You want to look at the National? Fine. You got the Padres. I don't know if the Dodgers really need somebody right now. They're a pretty dumb team. The only one they got to worry about is the Braves, as far as come playoff time. It's pretty open, his preference. He might want to stay more on the West Coast side, the warmer weather. Although I can't, why does baseball bother you about playing in the warmer weather? You're not talking about being drafted by Green Bay or.
Is there an outside chance that he comes to the Yankees?
I'm sure the Yankees would welcome with open arms. What about the Mets?
They're jumping the gun, Ed. You're jumping the gun, because they said the Mets owner has the pockets to pay him. I think the drawback the Mets have here is. And what many other teams have done, why do you not put a dome on your brand new stadium? Why did you not put a dome on?
We talked about this, yes.
Why did you not? I mean, we're not even talking about football. Why didn't you put a dome on your brand new stadium? It's the Yankees, too. You move right across the street. Why didn't you put a dome on it? You ain't got to worry about rainouts. And, too, as far as the people there, now, you get some football games. Guys ain't got to worry about the games being rattled. I mean, football is inexcusable to build a football stadium in Abaddon. That's inexcusable. But you got a question, you build a new baseball park. I mean, that was the key to the Astrodome. How many years ago, Ed? It was the eighth wonder of the world because it was a dome baseball park. And nobody else picked up on that to make it status quo?
Yeah. It was, as kids, we talked about it all the time.
Yep. Doc Stanley Sports Network, Blog Talk Radio, Trust and Government. I know, Ed, you got to run.
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Before you go now, Ken, are we looking at a W? They haven't beat the Patriots in so long, Ed. So you got to feel that a win is kind of overdue.
Yeah, agreed. They just got to run the ball hard. And that's what everyone was saying. Don't give up. Don't put Wilson in that really bad position where he's got to drop back.
Third and 11, third and 9, third and 17.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what's crazy, Ed? You know what's crazy? They were 100% on fourth down last week. Two fourth down tries, made it both times. So maybe, Ed, maybe you got to put them in a fourth down situation.
We got two good backs. Keep running them. If the line isn't doing it, keep it going. Keep pounding them. Keep wearing them down. there's no way that defense is going to make you default to where you're totally out of the game. And even that was the case last week with Dallas, although you and I disagree, we both agree, officiating was tremendous, horribly bad.
Horrible.
So then they were really, then they were in a hole.
Right.
Put them
and,
in
and,
a
you
hole.
Know, talking before, I got a run of interviews here, too. I run a next time. And I talked to one of the he's a player with the Bills. I got to get his name, too. And he said, you know, if you can get up on Dallas, their defense changes now. Their defense changes now because when they're up on you, and you know, so, and you said that they blitz, they stunt because you got to throw the football. So, I mean, but, you know,
right.
It's not so much their defense is somebody using common sense. He said, but when you put Dallas in the hole, which nobody has done that yet. But it's going to be interesting to see how Dallas defense responds when they're behind in the game.
Right.
Yeah. But he's saying, you know.
Command on the situation.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, you'll be in control of the situation. Okay, Ed, we'll get back to you during the course of the week.
All right,
buddy. Jets can win. Okay, Ed, you're saying the Jets can win. You don't think so?
I think so. I think they're going to pull this one off.
Okay.
Because they learned their lesson. Let Zach, you know, Zach has limitations, and we got the two dynamic running backs, and this is pound, pound, pound. Offensive line, do your best. If you falter a little, don't panic. Our D will keep us in the game. My theory.
You saw that, Sonny. Ed, real quick before you go, got another three things. There was talk, there was rumors, names popped up: Tom Brady, Andrew Luck, Timothy from our Grand Prairie, Texas, said no. He said two things. He doesn't think Luke is in shape, and his propensity to get hurt was the reason why he left in the first place. Brady, you know, long range, I think he said no. But a name that hasn't come up is Rivers, Joe San Diego Chargers guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, the right money, the New York exposure. He's a Hall of Fame quarterback anyway. And a name, a long shot, Kaepernick. Possible?
I don't know about that one. What they're talking about too is the Vikings. If they drop down another one, there's still a possibility to trade for Kirk Cousins, even though he declined on the Jets back in the day. But he's got a his contract is up, so maybe the Vikings with a nice draft pick and money, whatever. They might be willing to do that. Anyway, some of the other, and I believe it too.
Wilson
is an NFL quarterback caliber. And
this is something that was surmised before the Rodgers situation. I'm still under the mind that within the next 2 weeks, somebody else is going to show up here that's going to be kind of reputable. But like you said, the great.
I agree. It's necessary. That's the bottom line. So they kept Zach around, but they're probably thinking he could be under the wing of Aaron Rodgers for a while. I don't even know. I'm hoping Aaron Rodgers to show up on the sidelines, you know, in a pair of crutches.
I said that too. I said if he could be on the sidelines just to help coach his kid, what a tremendous asset that would have been. Especially like you know, he couldn't be there Sunday, but no, it would have been. You know what I mean?
Right.
Would have been tremendous asset. Talk Sunday Sports at Block Talk Creator Trust Card, the network. NFL Ed is going back to the studios. NFL, we'll catch you during the course of the week. Right now, you
right,
like
buddy.
The Jets. Okay, well, okay. What about the Giants against San Francisco? Give it to me now.
No, it's going to be a disappointing day for the Giants. They might hold it tough, but I don't think it's going to happen. Yeah, as much as I'm pulling for them.
Yeah. All right.
All right.
That's it. NFL Ed Lee. Thanks, NFL Ed.
All right. Got it. All right.
NFL Ed Lee. We will do a couple of plugs. And then we'll come on back. NFL Ed had to go. Doc Stanley Sports, he's back into the studios. And at this time, I'm going to play a little music for you. I spent some of the time to play it again.
This is Michael Bellamy of Brooklyn Independent Media, and you're listening to Doc Stanley of Sports and Guests on Blog Talk Radio.
I played this the other day, and somebody really liked it. And we'll play a little more for you here in our closing minutes. The greatest jazz album of all time, Kind of Blue. Miles Davis on trumpet, John Coltrane on tenor sax, Cannonball Adderley on alto sax, Bill Evans on piano, Paul Chambers on bass, Freddie Joe Jones on drums. The greatest jazz album of all time. And you are the greatest audience and fan of all time. Thank you.
Jimmy Glover's in the background in the closing moments of Sports in Depth this Wednesday evening. Listen to Miles Davis, John Coltrane, Cannonball Adderley, Paul Chambers, Will Evans, Billy Joe Jones, and the greatest jazz I've ever put together, Kind of Blue. Thank you.
And always, as we go on our way, Marvin Gaye has this to say. Mr. Gaye. I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? Save a world in despair. Who really cares? There'll come a time,
there'll come a time,
when the world won't be singing,
when the world won't be singing,
flowers won't grow,
flowers won't grow, no,
bells won't be ringing,
no, bells won't be ringing,
who really cares?
Who really cares?
Who's willing to try?
Who is willing to try?
To save a world?
To save a world
that's destined to
that
die.
Is destined to die.
When I look at the world,
when I look at the world.
What fills me with sorrow?
It fills me with sorrow.
Little children today.
Children today.
Really gonna suffer tomorrow?
Really suffer tomorrow.
Oh, what a shame.
What a shame.
Such a bad way to live.
Such a bad way to live.
Oh, who is to blame?
Who is to blame?
We can't stop
when
living.
When we can't stop living. Oh, oh.
Live.
Live.
Live for life.
Life. But let's live, everybody.
Live life for the children.
Live life for the children. Oh, for the children.
See, let's save the children. Let's save all the children.
And if I may say that the Sports In-Depth Nation is here. The Sports In-Depth panel is here. I'm Mel Smith Jr. I am here. We're here courtesy of the Trust in God Radio Network. And the store that serves the drink is indeed here, and that's the incomparable Doc Sam. Take it away, Doc Sam.
Oh, yeah. It's time to go into the show. You can go now if you want to. I know that Frankie Crocker line. One of the greatest lines I've ever heard, though. Frankie Crocker said, if I'm not on your radio, your radio's not on. Enhanced sports host, NFL Ed, thanks for being with us tonight. And come close it out. Come close it out. Sports in Depth, talking sports. Sports in Depth with Dr. Melvin Doc Stanley Senior, and his renowned sports posse on this segment, NFL Ed, enhanced sports host, both join the good doctor. And we go to the doctor's favorite place on earth, the beloved Fortaleza, where Professor J.P. Campbell gives us an update on the Supermarket League scores and standings, and some other inside data from the capital of the state of CI. Sports in Depth is an informative, educational, historical look at the world of sports. And this is Melvin Doc Stanley's renowned and legendary award-winning radio show, Sports in Depth. Diversity with both a daily and historical perspective, bringing also both an in-depth look and perspective not only on the sports of our times, but to the players and performers of the said events both now and of yesteryear. Sports in Depth, a.k.a., also brings us the unique strategies of sports from an intellectual perspective, not just athletics, because it takes rural God-given talent condition, which takes a God-blessed mind filled with passion, determination, intellect, and belief of competing and accomplishing too. With in-depth knowledge and awareness and diverse intellect of Doc's iconic posse, Sports in Depth is to the world of depth. Thanks for joining us once again. Well, we've woke the rumors, all tie and last issues, and brand new truth. Being you at all times brings about the best of times for everybody. Always gave you the benefit of the doubt. Now you're with it. Since we are not on the same page, let's turn it. It's not that you care for me. It's what you feel and think you can get from me. Dr. Stanley's words of wit, wisdom, and truth, a.k.a. Lisa Regis' words of wealth. Dr. Stanley's posted their Blog Talk Radio and the Trust in God Radio Network. From the bottom of my heart, God bless you all and trust in God. And I close in prayer to the Lord. All honor and glory, holy name. Thank you for all things. In your name, your darling son. Amen. Dr. Stanley. Sports in Depth, Blog Talk Radio, the Trust in God Radio Network. And closing out with the song that brought me to them, made me cousin of them, made them my favorite instrumental and vocal group. And back in the day when Dr. J was Dr. J. And wow, some of friends and family. Herb, Wind, and Fire, where have all the flowers gone? Sponsored at Blog Talk Radio and the Trust in God Network. Thanks for being with us. It is just about 10 o'clock on a Wednesday. Larry Hardesty will take us out. Mr. Hardesty, you can do it on it, boy.
Hi, I'm Larry Hardesty from ESPN New York 98.7 FM. Did you enjoy the show? It was outstanding, but I expect that from the legendary Doc Stanley. Nothing less than the best. As he always says to me, and it's my favorite saying from him, live your life today as if you have to stand before God tomorrow. Words to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, have a great night, and we'll see you next time on Sports in Depth with the legendary Doc Stanley.
Thank you.